our Heavenly Father, truly, your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. Let's read about our Heavenly Father here this morning. Luke, chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 1. And once you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's Word, we'll be in Luke, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Luke 11 and 1. Bible tells us he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived. And I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord, and help it to pierce us this day and every day, that we may be more like you, Lord, more worthily magnify your holy name with our lives, with our heart and our mind, our soul and strength, to more love you fully. For you are our Heavenly Father, Lord, and we thank you for that privilege, that blessing, that wonderful, wonderful blessing that we can be children of you, Lord, our Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We thank you, Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We come here on this Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to everybody. Praise the Lord. We come here and we remember also the wonderful blessing it is to have a godly Father, a Father to guide and to show the way, point up to heaven, toward Jesus, toward our Heavenly Father. Lord and God and Father of us all, the Bible tells us, says that we can become children of God when we put our faith in Jesus, that we're not just some created thing. The angels, they're just created beings, but we are children of Almighty God when we're born again in the family of God. We are part of His family. We're kin to Him. He's our Father in heaven, and we can trust Him. We can pray to Him. Isn't that amazing that we can call God Father? That was a big deal. We often take that for granted sometimes, calling God Heavenly Father. But them Jewish folk back then, you didn't call God Heavenly Father. Oh, he is too scared to. But He came down from heaven and showed us that He loves us, and He died for us, sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. So we can call Him Heavenly Father. In verse 1 of chapter 11, talking about Jesus, it says, He was praying in a certain place, and after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. He was praying. Praise the Lord. Jesus was praying to God the Father. When did He pray in the garden before He went to the cross? Not my will, but yours be done. He prayed so hard, it says that He sweated blood. He was praying so hard to the Lord. He was praying in a certain place in this time. And after He'd finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Praise the Lord. They wanted to know more about Him. They wanted to know more about communicating with the Lord. I've heard it said that when we pray, it's us speaking to God. And when we read our Bible, it's God speaking to us. We got to have a two-way communication. We can't just be speaking to God all the time and not listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying, not listening to the Word. He was praying for a certain place. We need to have a communication with the Lord, open communication. If it's all us talking and never us listening, then there's a problem. It's important we must pray, but we also must pray with listening ears to what God is trying to tell us. He was praying in a certain place. After He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught His disciples. They want to know how to communicate with the Lord. He said to him in verse 2, when you pray, say, and it shouldn't be if we pray. Sometimes as God's children, there's not enough praying going on. There's not enough communication. We want to be close to the Lord. We want to have fellowship with Him. We want to know about His ways. We want to know what's wrong with our lives that needs in line with the Word of God. We have to communicate with Him. How can two walk together except they be in agreement, the Bible tells us. That's what God told us through the Old Testament prophets. How can you walk together with the Lord except you're agreeing? Your iniquities have put a large distance between us and the Lord, the prophets told us in the Old Testament. And it's true to this day. But by the blood of Jesus, by the cross of Calvary, He bridged that gap so we can have open communication. The temple veil was torn from top to bottom. We go straight to the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, we ought to be wanting that communication just as they did. We're trying to plan something. Unless we talk about it, we can't. If I'm going to meet you somewhere, well, unless we make arrangements, we're not going to be meeting at the same place. You may go north on the highway and I may go south. But if we make arrangements, we can meet in the same place. And if something changes, we can talk as we're going to that place. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. We need to have a communication with Him so we know how to get there. So I don't know the future. We don't know tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to change. If we knew the future, we'd mess it up before we got there. We can follow the Lord. We can trust Him. So we need to be on communicating with Him every day. There's that old hymn I like. It's called Turn Your Radio On. Turn it on and listen to the Lord so we can listen to Him. We can have understanding of what He's telling us. If I don't know how to get somewhere, I need to get a map. We got the map of the Word of God. If it's need help understanding it too, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. So we have to have communication with the Lord. We're going to heaven. We're wanting to walk on the straight and narrow way. We need communication with the person that knows the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, here, Lord, teach us to pray. So we need to be praying to the Lord. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much, the Bible tells us in the book of James. The effectual prayer of a righteous person. We need to get sin out of our lives when we come before the Lord. We need to be coming to Him, Lord, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me, as we just prayed from Psalm 51. Lord, teach us to pray, says as John taught his disciples. He said to him, when you pray, it needs to be when. We need to be pray without ceasing, the Bible tells us. When you pray, say, and this is the other version of the Lord's Prayer. We just prayed earlier together, the version out of the Gospel of Matthew from the King James Version. Well, this is from the NRSV Bible, and this is the version in Luke. He says, Father, that's what we first call Him, His Father. Hallowed be Your name. He's holy. God is holy. If we're going to recognize Him as Father, the Bible says if we're going to call God Father, we need to recognize who He is, that He is holy. He is righteous. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we need to treat Him as such. But isn't that an amazing thing? The one that created heaven's earth, the one that created the very knit the stars together, that holds this world, is our Heavenly Father. You can trust Him with our lives. We can trust Him with every little thing in our lives. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Pray over everything, every little thing. Everything's little to God, little old me, little old you. The biggest problem in our life to Almighty God that created heaven and earth, it's nothing to Him because He is so amazing. He's so big. So we ought to come to Him with whatever our greatest problems are in our lives and whatever our smallest problems are, because God, it's all little to Him. But He cares so much about the little things. He cares about every single thing. He says, pray over everything. He cares about everything in your life because He cares about you. He loves you. Father, He says, hallowed be Your name. His name is holy. There is no other name by which we're saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Holy is His name. We ought to be treating His name holy. We ought not to be using it as a curse word, but we ought to be using it as the blessed name of Jesus, the name above all names. Praise God for that. We also take this name upon us when we say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. We need to remember that. Holy is His name, and holy ought to be we as His children. Father, hallowed be Your name, and let us be hallowed. Let us be holy too. Hallowed be Your name. He says, Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not the kingdom of me or you, but Your kingdom come. He said, God's kingdom come. His kingdom. Thy will be done, as we pray in the other version. Are we wanting His will instead of our will in our life? As He's our Heavenly Father, if we truly trust Him, that He knows best. We need to get out of the driver's seat and let Him drive our lives. Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. When we prayed this earlier in this service, did we mean it? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Did we mean it? Or is it just hallowed words? Do you really mean it? Do you really want the Lord's will done in your life? Do you really want His kingdom come? Because when His kingdom comes in our lives, there are some things that can't stay. There's some things that can't stay around when God's kingdom is around. We can't have all this sin infecting us. We can't have all these things that the Lord hates. He doesn't hate people, but he hates sin. We can't have all these things that grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God wherein you are sealed under redemption. There's a lot of things that's not going to be around when God's kingdom's around. There's a lot of things that aren't hallowed by the name of God. If we're going to take the name of Christian upon us, there's a lot of things that don't need to be so in our lives. Help us, Lord. He says, your kingdom come. We want his kingdom to come in our lives. We're not waiting for it to come in the by and by days, but God's kingdom is right here among us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. God's with us right now. It's the light of God. When the light comes around, the darkness must flee. Lord, help us to live as children of light. He says here, your kingdom come. But in verse 3, he tells us, give us each day our daily bread. We can trust him for that. Do we trust him? As we read in the children of Israel in the Old Testament, he gave them that he fed them with the dew of heaven, that wonderful manna. It'd come out in the morning time on the dew. And they were told by the Lord, only get what you needed for that day. No more, no less. If you got more, it would rot away in the jar, all of it, and you'd go hungry. He said, trust me, take that. And on Friday, they'd get extra for the Sabbath, so they didn't have to go do it on the Sabbath day. Give us each day our daily bread. We too ought to be trusting him that very same way. He was trying to teach the children of Israel to trust him with their daily bread every day. Every day trusting that God will provide. Every day, do we trust him with our lives, or are we fretting and worrying about all these other things? But we can trust Heavenly Father. Give us each day our daily bread. He promised, he said, the sparrows, they're not going hungry. All these other things, the lilies of the field, even Solomon was not arrayed in such glory, the Bible tells us. We can trust him. We can trust him. He rules this world. This isn't my world. This isn't some president's or some government's world. This is Jesus' world, so we can trust him to provide. Give us each day our daily bread. Are we trusting him for his provision every day? Are we trusting him for his kingdom every day as his children? Lord, help us to do that. In verse 4, he says, not only that, after the prayer shifts focus from the Lord, now he's saying here, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. They go hand in hand. Jesus said, if we don't forgive some other people their trespasses, Heavenly Father won't forgive us. He says, forgive us our sins. We want to be forgiven of sin. We want to be as children of God, arrayed in his glory, forgiven, holy, set apart people. He says, forgive us our sins. We want to be forgiven. We need God's grace and forgiveness every day. Notice here, this is the model prayer. He said, then when you pray, say, these are the things we ought to be praying to the Lord. We ought to be praying his holiness and thanking him for him. We ought to be praying for his kingdom to come in us, in this world, and trust him to provide our provision, but also forgive our sins. This ought to be how we pray every day. We ought to be praying these things every day to the Lord, every day. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us as we forgive them all. As we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins, and God will forgive us. He says, if anyone sins, if any man, woman, any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice, not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's what the book of 1 John tells us, and it's the truth. If anyone sins, go to the Lord straightway. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. He says, and do not bring us into the time of trial, because he will guide us and show us the way. In verse 5, he said to them, suppose one of you had a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Can't do it, he says. Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs, his friend here. Because of his persistence, he rose up and gave it to him. But see, we've got someone that's closer than a friend that we're praying to. His illustration, Jesus says, even a friend, even just a person, eventually will get up and give you and help you out. But the Lord, he's far more glorious than that. At least become of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever, and notice here in this last part, he needs. Even this person, even a person would get up and help somebody out. We know the Lord is far more glorious than people. He's far more compassionate than people. He's far more kind than people. We can trust the Lord. He says here, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Even if someone's going to do it, the Lord can. So pray persistently to him. We can trust him Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's what the Proverbs tells us in chapter 3. Trust in Him. He will direct our paths. Trust in the Lord. In verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. How many times have we, God's children, been lacking, but yet we didn't even bother asking? We didn't even bother praying to the Lord that wants to provide our needs and wants to guide us and show us the way. He's provided us a need here this morning. I'm breathing. We're all breathing. We made it here this morning. God's given us a blessing this morning. He's provided us a need there. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Ask, He says. Ask. Are you asking for the fruits of the Holy Ghost? Are we asking to be more like Him? Not only that, He says, search. Search the Scriptures. He says, search and you will find. You will search for me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, the Bible tells us. Not half-heartedly search. We can't just sit down with the Word of God and kind of skim it a little bit and lay it down and say, well, I got my reading in for the day. We can mark that off our list. No, we need to study it. Search for it like gold and treasure. Search for it. Search the Scriptures. There's a lot to find in here. Ask it and will be given you. Search and you will find. He says, knock and the door will be opened for you. So many times we're running around, it's like in a moral hallway, seeking the Lord's face. Where do you want me to go, Lord? Where do you want me to go? And we keep trying to open the doorknobs here and there, doing that, and all we got to do is knock and ask the Lord. You know, I love that painting of Jesus. Or maybe one of the stained glass windows here. I believe there is in this room. Well, if you look, it's a door. And there's no handle on that door. And Christ is knocking. There's no handle on it. So too, a lot of the doors in our lives, we need to just knock and ask the Lord. Knock and seek His ways, because His way is higher than our ways. He knows the plans that He has for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and give you peace and expedient end. That's what He told Jeremiah the prophet, and He tells it that to us to this day. Trust Him. Knock, He says, and the door will be opened for you if you'll seek. If you'll seek Him, seek His face, seek His ways. Knock, and the door will be opened. Search, and you will find. But what are we searching for? So often, God's children is not searching for the Lord, not searching the Scriptures, but searching everything else under the sun. When we ought to be searching God's ways, searching for Him, and we'll find Him when we do it with all our heart, He promised, not half-heartedly. Notice here in verse 10, this promise from the Scripture, we can believe it. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone, not just somebody. Not just somebody that has got lucky. We talk about a lot about luck down here below. There's no luck. For everyone who asks receives. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing. Everyone who asks receives. Are you asking the Lord? But what are you asking for? He says, trust the Lord. He'll give you the desires of our heart. But if we're not right with the Lord, those desires are mighty wicked. But if our desires are fixed on Him and His ways, you'll receive it. If you want to receive it, change what we want to be in line with God's Word. For everyone who asks, receives. Now, it's not knocking on the door of the Lord and saying, Lord, I want a brand new Cadillac or $15 million in my bank account in the morning. No, He's wanting us to ask for spiritual things, blessed things. Now, provide our needs. We have financial needs here below in our lives. We have physical needs here below, and God will provide those if we'll trust Him. But He's talking here, for everyone who asks, receives. Are you asking for more of the Lord, more of His ways, fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, love, long-suffering? And we want to be more like Him. For everyone who asks, receives. So many times the Lord's treated like old Santa Claus, that just wanting gifts, instead of the spiritual gifts of heaven. We need to treat Him as our Heavenly Father. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. Where are we searching? And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. It's a promise of the Scripture right here, God tells us. But are we going to listen? Are we going to heed it? Are we going to obey? Jesus said, don't just hear the Word of God, but He said, obey it. So we need to, when we're praying to the Lord, we need to truly be praying, seeking His way, searching the Word of God. We will find Him. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Even lost people, they're not going to, some may. But many, many people that don't even know the Lord's love, if their kid asks for a fish, they're not going to give him a snake. They'll give him a fish even. He said here, or if a child asks for an egg, we'll give a scorpion. Some would, but majority, I don't believe, would. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? We can see God's love even in someone far away from the Lord. Why is that? Because every person is created in the image of God. The Bible says that every person was created. He knit us together in our mother's womb. God loves every person. He died for every person on the cross of Calvary. But we need to be born again into the kingdom of God, born again into the family of God. But even these people, he says, that don't know the Lord, if you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Because how much more does God love you than even the most vile person loves their children? How much more does God love you than we love ourselves? There's more love there than we know how to fathom. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the what? Not silver and gold, all of this stuff. No, he says give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You have not because you ask not, the Bible tells us. How much of the Holy Spirit have we got this morning? We've got as much as we want. We've got as much as we've asked for. Is the Holy Spirit guiding your every move? Is he guiding everything you do? Is he guiding everything we do? Every move we make, are we listening, being attentive to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's depicted as a dove. That stained glass window back there, when Jesus was baptized, it's a dove of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? A gentle dove. He's not some old hawk or eagle right down and scratch you. But no, he's a dove for a reason. A gentle dove. Listen to him. We got to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. To hear a dove flying, we got to be listening. Heavenly Father, he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Before we'll truly ask him, we got to ask him with our heart and our mind. We got to truly believe him. We got to have our faith in him before we can even ask him something and truly believe it's going to happen. Can't half-heartedly ask. But truly ask, come to the Lord and ask, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Or are we asking for it? Or are we content with where we're at? We ought to be growing in grace and knowledge. What happens if a tree don't grow? It's because it's dying. If your spiritual walk's not growing, if we're not growing in the Lord, growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior, then we're falling backwards instead of going forwards. We need to be growing in grace and growing in knowledge. We have a glorious Heavenly Father above. It's always given. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives unabridedly. He doesn't hold it back. He doesn't hold back wisdom. He doesn't hold back the Holy Spirit. To those who ask, he'll let it overflow. He'll let it fill you up. How much of the Lord have you got this morning? He says here so many times, ask, ask, knock, search, seek him. We have the choice to make if we're going to do it or not. The Lord given us this wonderful book, the Word of God, to guide us, show us the way. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The Word of the living God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews it's alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. We can ask him of the Word. We can ask him for the Holy Spirit, and he will give us. Let's all bow our heads and want to ask you, how much of the Holy Spirit have you got this morning? The psalmist says, my cup overflows. Is your cup of the Holy Spirit overflowing this morning? He's our Heavenly Father. You can trust him from the smallest detail to the greatest. But you've got to have communication with him. We've got to be praying and listening, reading the Word of God, listening to what God has to say. So take a moment and pray to him. If you lack wisdom, if you lack anything, go to him. He is the fountain. Father, we thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, every day to grow in grace, to grow in your ways. That, Lord, knowing that your throne room of mercy and your throne room of grace is always open, help us to never throw away an opportunity to come to you. Help us, Lord, to seek you with all our heart, love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. And seek your ways above everything else. We thank you, Lord, you promised that you'll supply all our needs according to your riches and mercy in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us all to trust you. as born-again children, we're part of your family, Lord, and we know that you always know what's best for us, that you always know what's right for us. And help us all as your children to be submissive to your will and your word in all things. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. We thank you for this blessing to be together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. Through Christ Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, we pray. Amen. Amen. And disregarding your bulletin there, we had communion last week, and I didn't delete it there in the bulletin. So we're going to go straight on to the closing hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it's going to be on page 534, if you'll stand with me and sing.
526. 534 was the first hymn.
Thank you.